We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
By the way, you know, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
That was Joe Biden at the impeachment inquiry today. Maybe. I mean, why not?
Two cents.
Would that make it?
What's going on?
If he said that at the impeachment inquiry, would that make it more weird?
I don't think there's any context you could provide for that clip that would make it make sense.
It's like somebody gave him 10 words and he had to use all of them in a sentence.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he did. And we're all going, okay.
You need to use leg hair, roach,
blonde.
And corn pop.
I don't understand.
Because that was the same place as the corn pop speech. If you see the video.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same speech he was giving, which means, man, what a speech that was.
It was a good one.
Everybody's wondering if they ate something bad or tainted.
I can't believe the people in the background weren't paying attention. Man, I would have been paying attention like a hawk.
I would have been filming it.
What is happening?
I would have been filming it. What is this?
Although, if the whole speech were an hour long and it were all that, I guess you probably would start to drift.
This is it. He's the guy. And he's probably going to be the guy.
I think it's down to, I do a lot of prognosticating, but
it's a big word for
you.
You
know, since I'm usually right. I think it's either him or Sanders at this point.
Not taking that bait.
I think it's one of those two guys.
At Daily Libber, who is a follower of this show on Twitter and is a big lib and a, as evidenced, I'm not calling him names.
Oh, is he?
That's what he calls himself. He was a huge Kamala Harris supporter. I go to him for like a peek into, because he's nice. Mm-hmm. And we're friends on Twitter. He said if Bernie Sanders gets the nomination, he's going to come in studio and sing "I'm Proud to Be an American" in the studio. So go retweet that on my Twitter timeline.
So
Bernie Sanders, if you're saying it's between those two.
I am saying that. I'm saying that because what you're going to see next is the fall of Elizabeth Warren. She's had her moment. She's dropping. And that support's going to go to Bernie.
Yeah,
he's going to start rising.
That would make sense. Well, let's talk about some financial issues here. I know we just talked to Illinois State Representative Blaine Willauer in the first hour. He's trying to get a call to the governor to start a investigation into the corruption and try to put into motion a special session so that they can fight against this corruption. Well, along with the corruption that exists in the state of Illinois is also a lot of pension debt. And that pension debt is not even being addressed in the issues that the taxpayers of the state of Illinois are facing. Joining us now to talk about this, Adam Schuster, the Budget and Tax Research Director at Illinois Policy Institute, online at illinoispolicy.org. Adam, thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me on. And I should say corruption is actually a good lead in, even though we're talking about pensions, because
yeah.
The way politicians have managed the Illinois pension system is nothing short of legalized corruption.
How do you explain that to people? Because I think the pension, everyone knows that we have a big pension problem, and
mm-hmm.
there are political explanations on both sides of the aisle as to how we got to that pension problem. How does corruption fit into it?
Well, you know, I've got actually an article on that point coming out shortly. But, you know, one good way to illustrate it is this pension consolidation bill that they just passed. You know, we actually were sort of in favor of the pension consolidation bill. We didn't like that they were kind of selling it as this, you know, cure-all, this huge step forward, because really it's sort of a small step in the right direction for a very small slice of the problem, and it doesn't even fully address that part. But, you know, we were open to talking about a consolidating downstate police and fire pension fund. So the state had roughly 650 of these things. There's no reason why each municipality had to have its own separate pension system. It didn't make any financial sense. It created a bunch of overhead costs. They couldn't get the same investment return. So we were on board, as were, you know, groups from the right and the left, sort of across the spectrum. Unfortunately, they couldn't just keep it to, you know, this sort of small win and consolidate the pension funds. And they actually passed a bunch of pension enhancers or sweeteners along with this that presumably were there to get the police and fire unions on board with the consolidation proposal. And they did that without even figuring out how much those enhanced benefits would cost. They never even did an official analysis of those enhancements. So, you know, if the first step of getting out of a hole is to stop digging, Illinois lawmakers seem to have decided that they're better off trying to dig through and get to the other side.
Yeah, that's that doesn't sound very surprising. I'm curious as to, and I'll say IllinoisPolicy.org is a place to go to get a lot of this information. And when you bring these things to light, you're always offering solutions to try to solve the problem, saying it's not you have a habit of saying it's not all doom and gloom. Let me tell you some of the bright sides, some of the opportunities to stop digging. How do we do that with the pension crisis in the state?
Well, really, I mean, there's sort of one way out. And, you know, I think that people try to get creative with, you know, getting around the main hurdle we're facing. But, you know, these creative ideas people come up with to try to kind of nibble around the edges of the pension problem aren't going to fix it. And in some cases, that actually, you know, they might offer short-term relief but make the long-term problem worse. So there's really only two ways out. The first would be that we proactively amend the state constitution so that it still protects every pension dollar that someone has earned to date, but it allows the legislature to make, you know, modest, reasonable changes to the future growth rate of pension benefits. And we've actually done the analysis, the full actuarial analysis, unlike our politicians. And we figured out that, you know, we could save about $2 billion a year, spend $2 billion a year less on pension contributions while actually eliminating the debt completely by 2045 rather than 90% like the current plan, and do it in a much more sustainable way while protecting every dollar that people have earned to date and actually improving benefits slightly for some of the younger workers whose benefits were sort of cut too much. And so we've put this plan out there, but so far, you know, the governor has really kind of been a roadblock to this. And unfortunately, although his signature is not required for a constitutional amendment, he is kind of setting the tone in how we talk about pensions. And he has written off the idea of doing a constitutional amendment. And if you're not willing to amend the Constitution and do these, you know, proactive structural pension changes, the only other way out, and I really do mean the only other way out down the road, is that the state of Illinois goes bankrupt. No state has ever gone bankrupt before. That would be a horrible situation to have to manage. But that's where we're headed if we don't do something about this now.
And if you listen to the governor talk about the progressive income tax, and certainly a lot of at least the downstate Illinois Democrats that didn't want to go on record publicly and be, you know, super pro progressive tax on the ballot in November 2020, their response was consistently, even with my own phone calls as a constituent of Katie Stewart's in the 112th district, we think that we should let the voters decide. Why are they scared to let the voters decide on issues that maybe aren't their pet projects to begin with?
That's exactly right. It's just pure hypocrisy. You know, if you're going to use this argument that the progressive income tax needs to go on the ballot so that the people can decide up or down whether or not they want it, why does the same thing not apply to pension reform? Because, you know, frankly, we've been trying this tax hike route. We've been doing this for a long time now, and it's not working. The governor is trying to pitch his progressive income tax as if it's some sort of new idea in Illinois. It's really just doubling down on what we've been doing for the last last decade and, you know, what's been failing for the last decade. The first time we tried to solve our problems with tax hikes was in 2011, or the first time in recent history, I should say, was in 2011. And the state's net debt, or the amount of bills we owe if we sold everything we own, has quadrupled. So it's grown by four times since we first hiked taxes. So debt is getting bigger. Our deficits are getting bigger. Meanwhile, we're hurting our economy with these tax hikes. We're driving people out of the state. So, you know, if you really believe in letting the people decide, you need to give them alternatives. Mm. And if you put the progressive income tax on the ballot, you should also give them the alternative of saying, you know what, no, we don't want to double down on failure. We don't want to continue the status quo. We want a new direction. And that starts with, you know, structurally reforming pensions to bring state spending in line with what we all can afford.
Last question I have for you, Adam, before I let you go, shifting gears just a little bit here. I know you saw my post. I have yet to buy gas in the state of Illinois since they doubled the gas tax, I guess, as it was at the start of July. And I get comments from people regularly that they say, you know, you keep putting this out in public, they're going to come back and reclaim that tax that you didn't pay to the state of Illinois. Am I in any danger buying my gas in Missouri for the state of Illinois to come back and make me document all of that money I didn't spend at the Illinois gas pump? Am I going to be obligated for that tax that I have purchased on my way to work in Missouri?
No, the state of Illinois has no claim on a transaction that didn't happen in the state of Illinois, a physical transaction like that. It gets a little bit murkier if you're talking about online sales. But in that case, no, there's no way for them to reclaim it. And I encourage everyone to follow your example. And but I encourage everyone to follow that example and, you know, avoid buying gasoline within the state of Illinois whenever you can, because, you know, we've looked into the capital plan. We found at least $1.5 billion of waste. I think that number's probably a little bit low. It's probably more than that. But because of the lack of transparency, it's hard to figure out sometimes exactly what they are spending the money on. So, you know, if you're paying, if you're, you know, sort of eating that gas tax increase and thinking, hey, you know, at least this is going to repair my roads and bridges, it's going to a lot more than just that. There was an option for how they could have fixed roads and bridges without these huge tax hikes. And I, you know, applaud you for leading by example, because the only way we're going to get our politicians to, you know, change their mind about anything, pensions, progressive income tax, is if we stand up and tell them, you're not getting any more of our money until you change the way you do business.
Well, I figure if they want to go after me, then it'll give me a lot to talk about, at least here to the listeners of the Andy Fry Show. And I would encourage people to stop into your local convenience stores and gas stations and buy a soda and buy a breakfast every once in a while, because I feel bad for these business owners who are being affected by this. But remember, don't put the pressure on the consumer. Put the pressure on the representatives that are putting this into action. The pressure needs to be on them. Adam Schuster, always great to have you on the show. I'd encourage people to check out the Lincoln Lobby on Facebook and go to illinoispolicy.org to find out more of what you guys have to offer. It's always great.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Talk to you again soon. I will go way out of my way to make sure that I can commit to this promise. Because I'm going to tell you, if I had to put gas in my car, if I had to stand at the pump in the state of Illinois and put gas in my car, I would not tell you that I haven't done it. But I have not pumped gas in my own car in the state of Illinois since the beginning of July.
Oh my gosh.
And I haven't posted every picture I've taken, because sometimes I look like crap and I don't want to put, I'm like, oh man, I didn't do that. Or the guy, what was his name at the gas station right here?
Yep.
You don't need to do that. You cute.
You cute.
It's weird to be a 35-year-old woman standing at a gas pump trying to take selfies. You got to do it really discreetly. And then someone sees you and they're like, look at her. I bet all she ever does is take selfies.
Just ask somebody in the parking lot to hold your phone and take a picture of you.
I want to keep my phone. I've already had my car stolen from me in downtown St. Louis while I was pumping gas. Oof. I am risking my vehicle in the state of Missouri because I'm getting sick of getting taken by the people in Springfield, Illinois.
Did somebody jump in your seat and drive your car away?
Yeah, I was carjacked.
I had no idea.
Downtown St. Louis.
Never heard that story.
I was 7.5 months pregnant.
They didn't think you'd chase them.
Well, if I would have.
I was
a pregnant woman holding onto my bumper.
4:15 in the afternoon in April. Sun's up. Day Cardinal game had just gotten out. People everywhere. They pulled up on the other side of the pump. Two people, because someone drove the other vehicle away, obviously. He walks over to get the squeegee thing. he asked me, he said, you know, they got a windshield cleaner here. And I was like, yeah, it's right over there. So he walks past the back of my car, comes back towards my car. I thought he was going to wash my windshields like for me and then tell me I needed to give him some money or something. No, he dropped it and he got in my car.
Did you have your keys in the car?
I didn't have them in the ignition. I took them out and put them in the cup holder.
Man.
So I had the passenger window down and I'm 7.5 months pregnant and I'm screaming in the car, telling him to get out of my car. And he just drove off with it. And my laptop, my work laptop, my purse, my phone, my DSLR camera that had the photos of my son who was a ring bearer the weekend before. Oh. Lost all that.
Did he know that your keys were in the cup holder or did he just get lucky?
I'm sure he watched. I'm sure he checked it out when he walked by my car.
Some people suck.
But I'm still getting gas in Missouri because I'm sick of Illinois screwing me.
That's how committed she is.
Yeah,
she gets carjacked and she just keeps on trolling.
Very committing. Don't stop believing, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Caller Joe says, don't take selfies at gas stations. Dangerous spark possibility could cause a fire.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Joe.
What, the phone's going to catch on fire and blow up?
I don't know.
There is something weird that happens.
I'm not taking a selfie by a fire that I started.
Look what happened. What is it, though, that they say that you need to touch, like, the roof of your car?
Because your static energy when you get out. I mean, like.
I never do that.
Yeah, but how often does that happen?
Not once to me.
Apparently happens to Annie pretty often.
I see people smoking while they're pumping
gas. Yes, I've seen that, too.
You know what's the funniest thing to see somebody smoking while they're doing? Playing a hard game of basketball.
That happens?
Yeah. Hmm. Buddy of mine used to do it all the time.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Thanks for that story.
You're welcome. Sorry. Where were we headed again?
Do you guys keep your car on while you're pumping gas? I've seen people do that, too.
No way.
No.
Annie does?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's no.
I turn it off so I can take selfies.
Stop getting
the selfies
carjacked.
Are what's going to.
You're cute. You don't need to do that. Turn your damn car off.
You can.
You're warm. You don't need to do that.
Turn your car off.
What was his name? I need to go back and look at that post.
But we said it for 2 days straight.
Every once in a while, I need to go back and reference something we put on our Facebook page. We post too much.
Yep. Can't find it.
It's not easy to do.
I don't know how you guys do that.
314-241-9797.
On Facebook?
If anybody wants to confirm the science behind
literally, how selfies. Do you press the buttons is what I'm asking.
I don't know that we can teach you.
What is a Facebook?
I don't know that we want to teach you.
No, you certainly do not. If you give me access to that, the kind of crap I'm going to put up there.
Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about something else. Change the subject now. What do you got?
I have been thinking about the next Democratic debate.
Oh, that's the most boring.
That's the one
that's
person.
That's the most boring thing to talk about. What do you have?
Just which candidates
okay,
are there.
Okay, here's what we should
aren't.
Do. New game. You know how when you're in your car and you've got a playlist and you're playing through your music or you got the radio on and you've got 6 presets and you like a song, but you don't love the song, but you're like, I could come back to this.
Mm-hmm.
We should play that with Ryan, where Ryan has to have a series of subjects and we can skip, but we could come back to
it. We can come back to it.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't really want to talk about that. What else do you got?
I've got what it means to have legal precedent.
Skip. That's
After hitting a dog with his car, a Canadian man drove it to safety, but it turned out it was a coyote.
I saw that. Bingo.
Wait a second, huh? He put the coyote in his car?
Yes.
And yeah, and it does kind of look like a dog, so I could see how.
Because it's a dog. It's a version of a dog.
Yeah.
It looks like a wild beast in the back of his car. It does not look like a tame dog.
No,
it,
good thing
you're
he hit,
right.
Good thing he hit the coyote before he put it in the car.
Right. It does not look like a dog.
Well,
coyotes
says he
look like
he
dogs.
He clipped it, which I don't know what that means. Maybe like hit its paw with his car. It flew into a ditch, and then he went, oh, no, I hit that dog.
Oh,
I'm going to go put
Fido.
It in my car.
I'm going to put it in the car. It's going to eat me.
And my neck.
Yeah.
It's
and
fine.
Then he died.
Now I have rabies.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Annie.
What do you got?
Can I clarify something with the cell phone and at the gas station?
Yeah, please.
Okay, your phone has electricity that runs through it, or little shocks of electricity that goes through it, and it can ignite the fumes of the gasoline, which is what ignites gasoline to cause a big explosion.
Yeah.
Highly unlikely that it ever happened, because I've never seen a case of it happening, but you all, if you want to take that into consideration, you could spend about $5,000 for an intrinsically safe cell phone that will allow you to take your selfies at the gas station.
I'm willing to risk blowing up.
Yeah, me too. You have a better chance of winning the lottery than you will of igniting that gas pump.
So, Mark, you're taking selfies at the gas pump too, right?
No, because I don't take selfies.
That's all Mark's Twitter is.
Because, Mark, you don't need to do that. You cute. You can.
All I do is just take pictures of a boat going up and down the river. So, you know.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thank you for the scientific information there. We appreciate it.
That information was a little bit like, hey, have you ever heard of this disease? It's called Globies. And I didn't make it up. It's real. But there have been no known cases
There's
of it.
No proof.
What?
There's not proof.
Terrible, though. If you catch it, you're dead. Don't catch it. So that's why I'm looking out for you. Don't get Globies.
Guys,
where does Globies come from?
Since we're on the subject
of
gas stations? Please define it right now.
I had a 15-year-old come up to me at the gas station yesterday.
Oh, I read this story. Was it cute?
It wasn't cute. He was 15 years old, and how I know this is because he gave me his life story. He saw me pumping gas and walked over to me and was like, hey, my name's so-and-so. I'm a freshman in high school. I'm 15, and then goes into this story about how he's trying to quit smoking cigarettes. Him and his buddies have been chain smoking cigarettes, I guess, for a while now. They want to kick the habit.
How long is a while when you're 15?
Right. They want to kick the habit.
15 years.
And they want me to go inside the convenience store and buy them a darn jewel. I'm like,
was he on the high school basketball team, and did he smoke cigarettes while he was playing basketball like Ryan's buddy?
I don't know.
Because that's a fact about Ryan's life that we now know.
It is.
I didn't know that was going to be a useful fact, but here we are talking about it again.
Did you buy the jewel? And how much of an upcharge was he offering?
And you know what? I felt like a real adult. I'm like, you know, you're too young to be doing all of that. You got to stay healthy and keep studying. And the kid's like,
did you say that to him?
Yes.
No,
you are 84 years old.
I'm like, keep studying. I'm like, you really don't want to do that stuff. You're too young. And
he's a
like,
big boy.
You know what's crazy? Is that kid went home and he said, you know what? I really need to be hitting these books harder.
Yeah,
that
I met
lady
this 84-year-old
right.
woman around. At the gas station. She told me, you need to study.
Come here, child.
You need to work harder, because if you don't, you're going to be
so sad.
He was not having it. He was mad.
I'm the boss.
Well, that's his right.
I can't believe I've reached that age.
What, 84?
Where someone comes up to me at the gas station.
I said you need to study those books. And
come
you need
child.
To make sure that you get it to bed in early bedtime so you get enough rest to eat your oatmeal in the morning.
Listen,
with blueberries and fiber.
I may not understand what
like
smoking the doobies are.
You did.
But listen, I may not be jiggy, but listen, you need to study harder.
I was offended
or you're gonna end
that
up
he
on
came
the streets
up to me.
Walking up to people asking them for
question.
Cigarettes.
This poor kid's run this scam on so many people,
right.
And he runs it on Katie, and now the whole city of St. Louis knows it.
And now he's studying harder.
He said he was outside the convenience store for 45 minutes asking people if they could go in and get him a jewel.
Dude's committed.
I'm like,
I gotta
dude.
Applaud.
He probably has 42 jewels, and he's probably selling them
he
on the black freshman high school market.
I'm like, what's your bedtime? You need to go home.
If you had
go
only given
something.
Him more reasonable advice.
Because
go
watch
go
the
study.
News tonight and learn what's going on in your
Stay
community,
in
and then get a good night's sleep.
Are you a social activist, young man?
Vote in local politics. Never forget.
By the way, next time anybody walks, and this is for anybody, somebody walks up to you at a gas station, I know your initial reaction is, uh-oh, but here's what you need to do. Go on the offensive, and the first thing you say before they say anything, or
and
even if they
get, and I'm going to tell a girlfriend you so old.
Is that. Just quote anything from Marianne Williamson. It doesn't matter what it is or if it's relevant to
and
the conversation.
Make sure they know it's Marianne Williamson who's saying it so then they can understand
and
the context.
And say it like Marianne Williamson.
But isn't it sad that initially I thought this little boy was coming up to like rob me or take my car?
That's
I
not wasn't, sad.
I was like, I looked over at him and I saw him approaching and I'm like, I'm kind of scared, even though I outweigh him and I was taller than him. I was
you
like,
outweighed him?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
He was 74 pounds.
He was a small 15-year-old.
I'm going to need to see you step up on this scale.
Wait a minute. You can't take my car. I weigh more than you.
Like
look,
I said.
He's a big got boy. The scale. No, listen, this is real advice. If somebody comes
it's
up to you at a gas station,
ridiculous.
Here's what you do. You immediately say, hey, man, do you have any money? And they will be so off guard that they will say, I've done this. They will say, oh, man, no, I was going to ask you. And I go, ah, doggone it. We're in the same situation.
Darn it.
That's what
at
you
last,
do.
We meet for the first time for the last time.
I want everybody who gets hustled by this 15-year-old kid to just go into your old lady voice and start giving him life advice.
Go study.
Or give him a jewel.
Can you imagine if he does? If he goes and asks more people this? If he's collecting them to sell. Can you imagine if, like, the first person does it and it's totally weird, but then the next day, the next person starts going, listen here, Sonny. It all started with that humongous woman who was so much bigger than me.
That huge woman over there.
Katie comes in, boom, boom, boom.
She looks like she's 27, but she's 80.
He had you picked out. He only does giants.
I promise you, I don't know why he came over to me. He probably thought, that girl's young and cool. She'll do this
and
for me.
And a sucker. She yep. looks really nice.
But oh, little man, did he know, nice. I was leaving him with sage advice.
And since she's using a walker, I can run away from her as fast as I can.
And she's huge.
If it gets hostile.
You're just a very little boy.
I picture him being like, hey, miss, shine your shoes on and give me a jewel.
Is it Mickey
it's
Mouse?
Very close.
Very close.
Oh, boy. It's an 1800s chimney sweep is what that is. I don't know what word I'm trying to look for. Who cares?
So many good stories in one segment. I don't even know what just happened.
Watch out for those hustlers. That's what I gotta say.
Especially
watch
if you're an Amazon woman.
Little son here. I'm gonna tell you, you gotta be real careful out there when it gets dark. Nothing good happens after 8 p.m.
You could be attacked by a 15-year-old.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Katie, can you sing this like an old lady?
Yeah, I can't
take my horse to the other road. I'm gonna ride till I can't.
That's a good song. Gonna take my horse to the hotel. Did you see some of this reaction for President Trump at the NATO summit? Did you see the mean girls like Trudeau and Macron?
Oh my gosh, I did see that. Yes,
talking about Trump.
Man. I didn't hear. Was it a hot mic that caught it?
It was a camera.
Yeah, it was a camera.
And but did we get audio from it, or did people hear it?
Subtitled audio.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, Macron provided his own subtitle. No.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Holding up the signs like
very
a Bob
generous.
Dylan video.
Well, here's President Trump on Trudeau.
Well, he's two-faced.
You think that Germany's too naive?
And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy. But, you know, the truth is that I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%. And I guess he's not very happy about it. I mean, you were there. A couple of you were there.
So the camera that caught them talking about Trump, you got to know that got under Trump's skin.
Yeah, he left the summit early.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't need to meet with these people again.
It was hard to hear, but whenever you read along with it and you start to look at their lips, you're like, oh, man.
It's kind of the equivalent to him leaving early. You know, husbands, when you say to your wife, what's wrong? And they say, Nothing. And then they leave the room. Yeah, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Big trouble.
Are you and your wife, Ryan, are you guys talkers? Is it like, if you're going to have an argument, do you discuss it? Is there a lot of passive aggressiveness that goes on?
I don't know. It's changed over the years. With kids now, we almost just have it out because we don't have time.
Yeah.
To be mad.
It's true, Katie. You have this to look forward to. We're going to fight now because we have to, because we have to be somewhere at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we have to look like a happy family.
And we know we got to be good by then. So let's get it on right now, which is, you know, not the way to say that.
Well,
not with the kids. That's like I said.
Do you think it's good to fight in front of your kids? Disagree? Fight in the...
Not yell. But I do think it's good to disagree and walk away okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can see, oh, it's actually okay to have a disagreement. It's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything's happening in a healthy way, even if it's a negative thing, I think that's fine to do in front of your kids.
Yeah, I think it's important to have the array of experiences and emotions in relationships that they're going to have when they grow up.
Right.
It is important for them to see that they exist and that they need to be handled, as opposed to, you know, I've heard some of my friends would say, you know, my parents never fought, or my parents fought all the time. And whether they, you know, quote unquote, never fought or they fought all the time, I don't know that there's any consistency in whether or not those marriages stay together or fall apart. But I can tell in my people who are my age that grew up that way, that they handle conflict and the anxiety behind needing to resolve or having a problem with somebody, mm-hmm. and wanting to address it differently, which, you know, the passive aggressive nature with which many people are inclined to handle these kinds of issues doesn't generally make it better. And I say that as someone who, I mean, I'm not saying I'm immune to that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's odd? The first couple of years of my kid's life, I was so, not even passive-aggressive, just passive. If my wife got mad at me, I would just be like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
We were so tired. We had twins, you know, so mm-hmm. we were just barely making it through every day. But it's like the last couple of years, I have felt internally, I don't know if it's a God thing or what, that I feel like it's more important for me to argue with her. To show her that I care about what she's talking about.
Yeah, there's my husband is very relaxed. He is a very relaxed, chill human being almost 90% of the time.
I said, get in here. We're going to fight about this.
You didn't thaw out the meat.
You didn't study
for
enough.
Dinner.
Get these dishes out of the sink.
And I am a very enthusiastic person, as you all know. I think when we first started dating, it really bothered me, like you were just pointing out, that he was so relaxed and so calm. And I'm like, I feel like you're not listening to what I have to say. And now, 9 years later, he's still pretty calm, but a good rise out of the relationship.
But you like it when he will engage you in a disagreement sometimes.
Absolutely.
I mean, not that you love yelling at each other.
No. But I like
but
a
you
good
know he
conversation
cares.
Or a good argument.
Do you like to yell at him?
No. I don't, but there's times I have to. I don't want to.
And there you have it.
There's very much balance there. There's a lot of balance because you can't just argue about everything every time you have a bone to pick. You have to pick your arguments, but I still think it's important to pick arguments
mm-hmm.
because you can't just passively, because at that point, your spouse is going to think you don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
and you don't care
true.
About them.
My husband is so relaxed, just mm-hmm. like yours, Katie, that I will know something's bothering him before he knows something is bothering him. And if he were here, I think he would completely agree with that. But just, I can tell by the way he's acting that something's off. But he doesn't really take the time to sit and think about his emotions and his feelings. It's like, I can tell something is, and I'm like, I'll in my very compassion be like, what's your problem?
Are you always
deal,
right?
Man?
Am I always right?
Are you always right that there is a problem?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it doesn't happen a lot, but if something, you know, I might say something to him and he might say, yeah, work has been this, that, or the other thing, or we're trying to deal with this with a different relationship that he has in his life. Or maybe I did something to him that he doesn't realize, like he's been affected by something I did or whatever, something I said, and it does bother him, but he didn't realize that it was outwardly affecting
mm-hmm.
the way he's interacting with me.
I've had those conversations before where my wife will say, we had one recently, where she goes, is everything okay? And I was like, yes. In fact, she's like, well, what's on your mind? I'm like, I'm literally right now thinking about how cool the original Atari was.
Oh my gosh. I will say to my husband all the time, when we were dating, I'd be like, what are you thinking about right now? And he'd go, nothing.
And you're like, and I'm like, how?
No, you're thinking about something. What were you thinking about? And when you're dating, you want to be like, I'm thinking about how beautiful you are, yes, and how much I want to spend the rest of my life with you, which that conversation never took place.
Yeah, guys think that a lot.
Jared, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And I now know he was not thinking about anything. There was nothing happening.
Well,
and I
am so peaceful.
So envious of,
yes,
that.
Well, the problem is,
so
it's not
peaceful
that a guy is thinking about nothing. It's that he's not thinking about anything that's even remotely important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably thinking about something, but it's oh man, are there toys under the leaves right now? Like, but who cares? You know, like, it's nothing.
I am analyzing multiple complex things at any given time, and if I'm not, I'm looking for something that I can analyze. I'm thinking, how could I make that better? If I were doing that, how would I do that? You know, if I were in charge of it, or just constantly thinking, which Katie knows because she gets messages from me all the time. And I'm like, what if we did this? No, that's how you talk, not me.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
I was going to say that my wife and I have been married a little over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both extremely non-confrontational.
Yeah.
To the point that I don't think we've really ever yelled at each other in a 20-plus years.
Have you been mad at each other?
Oh, I think she's been definitely mad at me.
Have you ever been mad at her?
To the point of, not really.
Oh.
I mean, seeing relationships that have gone from screaming to yelling to throwing things, I just never understood that.
Yeah.
And I made it a point in my relationships not to get to that point.
Well, here's to another 22 years, yes. Jeff. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's,
bye-bye.
That's got to be rare, though.
It's got to be rare. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey, thanks for calling the show.
Annie.
Yes?
Annie. Literally, one of the five worst questions a woman could ever ask a man is, what are you thinking about?
Why? Because you are going to answer wrong?
Nothing.
No. It's because we don't even have privacy of our own thoughts. What do you? I mean, it's the ultimate invasion of your space.
Yeah, big brother.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize to men.
Look it up. You could Google it and say, women, what are you thinking about? And then there's literally articles and all kinds of stuff.
Well, sure, but Jeffrey, I think men and women operate differently, and it's important for women to understand how men operate and men to understand how women operate so that they can operate together. But when I would ask my husband when I was dating him, when I would ask him, what are you thinking about? It was because we were hanging out and, you know, not doing anything, and it was a simple question. It was never meant to invade somebody's privacy.
It's a simple question for you. To a man, it's not. I'm just saying.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jeffrey.
What is this marriage, like 1984?
Imagine when I was born. I don't know how that could be as offensive as he implied that it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, Ryan, I think that was a little much.
What are you thinking right now?
I can tell you what I'm thinking, because I'm always ready to say something because we're on the radio.
The worst he bears.
The worst text you can get as a man.
Okay.
We need to talk.
Oh, yeah.
That's, I think, everything. If I got a text from my husband saying we need to talk, I'd be like, weesh.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that from anybody.
Yeah,
oh,
really,
boy.
From anyone, not just your, but especially your spouse.
Especially because anything that can't be said over text probably is intended to not be documented.
Yes, or is lengthy and important.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've said that a couple of times.
Don't do that again, ever.
I think I've done that.
Tonight, I am going to ask my husband, what are you thinking right now? Which I haven't asked him in 12 years plus.
Wow.
I'm going to say, what are you thinking right now? And he's going to look at me like, why do you care?
I'm offended.
And then I'm going to say, I don't really care what you're thinking about right now.
I just
want to know if I hurt your feelings.
I'm just looking for a show prep.
Either way, it works for me tomorrow. 2:45, you can listen to it and hear how I react to it. Yeah, I'm going to ask him.
Okay, do it. Don't Facebook Live it. Save it for the show tomorrow.
And then I'll apologize to men again tomorrow.
That's fine.
And if you missed,
I can be a proxy for all men.
If you missed the Facebook page live last night, I fixed some Christmas lights on the Facebook page.
Like a boss.
And people watched it. I don't understand, but I appreciate them. Go like the Facebook page, and you too can watch me fix Christmas lights.
Yay.
Next December. I just wanted to get the Christmas lights fixed because I got to work on the darn tree.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.